والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد. My dear respected brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, some of the basic things we're doing about Salat, and most of us already know these things, but it is important that we constantly do Muzakara. And if you notice, after Muzakara, when we pray the Salat, there is a refreshing feeling and there is an improvement there. And there's a caution build up that, okay, let me try and make my Salat better. We won't be needing the screen, so the sisters don't have to worry about turning on the screen. They'll get the papers for the notes. So last time, Farais were discussed. Taharat of the body, Taharat of the dress, Taharat of the place. Facing the Qibla, covering up the Satr, making intention, and praying on the time of Salat. Similarly, the Arkan were mentioned, those things that are compulsory in the Salat. In the Salat, Takbir Tahrima, Qiyam, Qirat, Ruku, both the Sujood, Qada, Qira. These were those things that without which the Salat cannot ever be completed. If somebody misses out, it is important that they repeat the Salat. There is no way of compensating for this. Scholars have said that the Farais, Wajibat, Sunan, these are things that even the regular people have to memorize. That's why you notice in many halaqas of Salat, they actually have memorization done for these things, that we should know which are the Farais. It shouldn't be something that only when discussed in a halaqa we hear about it. But I should know them by heart, because we don't have scholars with us all the time. We might be praying at home. How do I know if I miss a farz or a wajib? Can I do sajda sahu or not? So these are basic things which are needed 5 times a day. So all of us, we should be very cautious about this, that I know my farais, I know the salat from in and out, because this is not something that should only be left for the scholars. It's a basic understanding, and all the Muslims have to memorize these farais in order to carefully keep their salat safe from being invalid. We also discussed that in any situation where one can go ahead and break his salat. So one was those points when the person has the urge of urinating or going for defecation. Either of these cases, if there is extreme need, he is allowed to leave the salat and then go ahead and take care of his istinja. He should not force the salat in this condition. Similarly, if before the salat he really, really has to go, then he should not start the salat in this condition, because urgency is not recommended in the salat. It will start to become makruh and the reward will start to decrease. When a harmful creature, animal, makes its appearance, we understood all of these points, that life is the amanat of Allah and has to be protected. So during the salat, if these type of things come up where a person's life might be in danger, he is allowed to let go of the salat and take care of his safety. And then after that, he can come back and perform his salat. Similarly, if another person's life is in danger, to save them, a blind person falling into a hole, or somebody is getting burned, or there is a hazard that may happen, then a person is allowed to go ahead and save that person's life. Similarly, for parents, for grandparents, usually we ourselves are the ones that are the main caretakers of these individuals. That's why it is said that if they are calling out of urgency and there's no other way of taking care of them, this person is going to go ahead and break his salat and take care of them. After that, he's going to complete his salat. So moving forward, today we're going to talk about some of the wajibat. Very simple things, that's why I'm not stressing about it too much. These are things that we should all have memorized in our young age, and even if now, you would see that it's written there. We have to try our best in our words, memorize these facts, that these are the wajibat. So number one, it says that what does wajibat salat mean? Okay, now we're going to have questions. Everyone has questions when they see points. We can do it at the end, because the program itself becomes very, very long. So we're going to try to finish it in a 20-30 minute period. After that, if people have comments, they have questions, they have a lot of discussion, inshallah, I'm open to that. I can sit individually with you and discuss it. So wajibat is salat. Wajibat are those items that are necessary to complete the salat. If one misses any of them unknowingly, this mistake can be compensated by performing sajda sahu, sajda done for mistakes made unknowingly. Now we must understand this, that if one of the wajib is left out intentionally, agar janbujh ke chhoda jaye, to phir uski namaz nahi hui, dobara se us namaz ko lautana hoga. He has to repeat the salat. Because now it's not a sahu. Sahu means to become forgetful. And sajda sahu is taken from that, that you did it out of being forgetful. And intentionally leaving it out will not be compensated by sajda sahu. He has to go ahead and complete the salat all over again. Also, if one does not perform sajda sahu, or if one misses a wajib knowingly, it is necessary to perform the salat all over again. Why we need to know about the wajibat and how many are there. I just mentioned about this, that if one knows the wajibat and faraiz, he knows what to do with his salat. He will not be stuck and he will not make wrong decisions. If he knows the wajibat and he knows in the salat I've missed it, I can go ahead and make sajda sahu. Inshallah, the salat will not become invalid. So he's saving his salat from becoming invalid. Now, how many are there? 14 wajibat. You might see in many different books, it's written in different forms, sometimes 12, sometimes 18. What they do is they take these points and break them up, or sometimes in one nutshell, they say a whole bunch of points and they count it as one. So that's why the figure varies in different kitab. In Ta'lim al-Haq, you will find to be 14. In other books, you might find 12 and 18 as well. But they're all coming down to the same concept. It might be in different words and different form of displaying it. So 14 wajibat, that means there are 14 things in my salat. If I miss them out of forgetfulness, I can make it up by sajda sahu. If I miss them intentionally, then my salat has to be done all over again. Fixing the first rakats of the first salat for qiraat. Where should I put the qiraat, the recitation of Fatiha and the Quran? The first two rakats have to be fixed as a wajib. Now, the first point, second point, and third point, you'll notice that they are talking about the same concept, that is qiraat, even the fourth. So some books have taken it and put it into one form, and some said to do it separately, so it's understood. So in the beginning, this person is reciting Surah Fatiha, that's one wajib. Then with the Surah Fatiha, one long ayat or three small ayats. And this is going to be wajib in the first two rakats of first salat and all the rakats of all the salat in every other salat. In all the prayers, you have to recite Surah Fatiha with the surah, but in first salat, only the first two rakats is going to have Surah Fatiha and a surah. In the second two, it is not a wajib. That's why it's not mentioned as a wajib, but instead it will come in the sunnahs. So if something is not mentioned here and I'm doing it, we don't have to be alarmed. That means it might come in a different category. So when we do the sunnahs and mustahabat and all those things are finished, you'll notice that the whole salat we do, it's there. Something is there, but I didn't know the ruling. That's how it happens. So here we're coming to the beginning. 4 points are all about qiraat. Fixing the first surakat, the first salat for qiraat. It's wajib to recite Fatiha in all the rakat of every salat except the third and fourth, which it is sunnah and not wajib. To recite a surah or a lengthy ayat, three small ayats. Now I discussed this already, that if a surah, you have to recite all of it. The small surahs, they should not be broken down. Somebody is reciting Inna Atainaka al-Kawthar. Of course, he has to recite all three verses. Other scholars have said that one ayat, if you're going to recite a long, it should be long enough that it can be comprised into three ayats. So Ayatul Kursi, right? It's a long ayat. And Surah Al-Fat in the end, Muhammadur Rasulullah wal-ladhina ma'ahu wa shiddah. This is a long ayat. In Surah Baqarah, there's many long ayats. So if this person has done that much, he has completed the wajib amount of qiraat. Now we can move to the next point. We don't have to count our ayats because we've already done so many. After Fatiha, then the qiraat should be that much. Then number four is to read Surah Fatiha before any other surah. That is to maintain the order. Fatiha comes first, and then the surah or the three ayats, which the person decides to read. Now, to recite, I know these questions have come up. Should we recite, can we recite the same surah? If we don't know any other surah, then people recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad, and then again they recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad, then again. For a Muslim, he has to always be improving. So if I've done this today because I didn't know, then tomorrow I should have started memorizing another small surah. If we listen to it in the Quran, in the car, if we talk about it at home, do muzakara, you'll notice just by muzakara, in a few minutes we'll be able to memorize another surah. That's how easy it is to grasp onto surahs. So small surahs, the last 10 surahs, if we know them, then we can easily shuffle around in different prayers. But we try our best to maintain the order. The way it is coming down, that's the way it should be recited as well. I should not be reciting in the first rakat Qul Huwallahu Ahad, and then in the second rakat I'm going backwards towards Alam Tara Kaifa or Waylun Likulli. I should try my best to maintain the order there. As far as the wajib is concerned, Fatiha comes first and then the surah or the three ayats. Next, to maintain order between qiraat, ruku, sujood and rakat. That means the recitation will be done when he's standing. Then after that, he's going to go into ruku. It shouldn't be the other way around. If somebody breaks this routine, that means now he is either going to do sajda sahu at the end, and if he has missed that, he has to then go ahead and repeat the prayer. So it is important that these tartibs are not broken. That's basically what it is, tartib. Sajda and rakat. So to keep maintain the rakats 1, 2, 3, and 4. It shouldn't be 1, 3, 4, and you cannot do that. That also breaks. Next, qoma. Standing up erect after the ruku. When we go into ruku and we stand up, that is qoma. When is the qoma complete? When all the body parts are up straight. That's basically the point that we have to get to. Now, notice that it doesn't say Sami Allahu liman hamida. It doesn't say Rabbana lakam. It will come in the sunnahs. It will come in the other categories. But those things that are mentioned here, this is the bare minimum to get past the wajib. You have completed the wajib of the salah that you had to stand up straight. Next, jalsa. Sitting between the two sujood. Similarly, after the sajda is done, one, and to sit up before going into the next sajda. And scholars have said that at least one ayat can be recited. That should be the bare minimum. That means you're sitting straight and then you're going for the next. And we know that this is a big disease, right? Many, many problem people, even elderly, would see that they're in such a rush that before getting up from the first sajda properly, they go into the second. So this is why a big, big wajib is left out and person doesn't know. Now he didn't do sajda, so that salah did not count. So respectfully, if we know people, friends, elders who are doing it, respectfully explain to them that we had a reminder on this, we had a halaqah on this, so we should all try to and the best way for a common person to say that, I also fix my mistake, then you should do it too. Something that he can relate to instead of becoming a teacher over others. And salat is such a basic teaching of Islam, it's difficult to explain it to elders. They will say, oh, I learned it, and what are you thinking, that I don't know how to pray? And I've been praying like this for so many years, it can go towards an argument very easily. Because these are basic teachings. Next one is ta'dil-e arkan. Ta'dil-e arkan means to perform every rukun. That means every action, to do it with peace. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. That means when you're praying the salat, it has to be a peace of mind, peace of body. Everything is resembling peace. That's why if you notice that all the ahkam of Islam also, they illuminate the action of peace. So if person is in rush and he's trying to just get through things, either he's going to go into makruh or he's going to end up breaking his salat. Ta'dil-e arkan, other scholars have said that at least one ayah, one tasbih time should be given for every rukun. So if you got on at least one, you're doing jalsa. You did sajda. So at least one subhanAllah, you can pray that much time and then you go to the next. So if he didn't get up at all or didn't get up properly, then it was not done. So that's left out then. Qa'da ula. Qa'da, the word comes from sitting. Maq'ad in Arabic means the rear of a person. The rear area is a maq'ad, which he uses to seat himself. Qa'da ula, the first sitting, if it's a three rakat salat, after two rakats, the first sitting that we do. If it's 4 rakats, similarly after 2 rakats. If it's only 2 rakat salat, then basically there is no qada ula, there's only one qada, and that's going to be the final one. Qada ula, sitting, just to sit, to the amount of reciting tashahud. How much is tashahud? This might, tashahud, what is tashahud? How much time for tashahud? Yes. What is tashahud? At-tahiyyat up to? Yes, up to there. Okay, so when I say the time of tashahud is only up to that time. So this person has to sit that much to fulfill his wajib. Now, one thing to be careful about is that when the qada ula, after the tashahud is done, the next thing it should be that this person has to get up, immediately getting up, immediately. There should not be a delay. Now, if forgetfully we start to recite Durud Sharif, right? We're thinking that it's the last one, and this happened many times. So when we're reciting Durud Sharif, if we recite most of it, when you get to the point of Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, and you've crossed that point, that means you have delayed the next wajib. You're going into another rukun of the salat. So we have to be careful here. Many people don't understand this point. It's not because of the fact that he's reciting Durud Sharif. It's because he's delaying the next thing, which is to stand up. So delaying that, it causes a sajda sahu to come into effect. So we have to be careful here to stand immediately after the tashahud is done. That next thing is to stand immediately. To read tashahud in 2 qa'adas, okay, that is to recite it, to read it. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawat, all the way up to ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan. Raise our finger and put it down. Now we should stand up after that. To recite qiraat out loud in Fajr, Maghrib, Isha, Jum'ah, Eidain, and Taraweeh Salat in Ramadan by the Imam. Now, the recitation, if it is behind the Imam, then we have to stay quiet. This is also a wajib. This is very, very necessary for us to understand that there is no recitation behind the Imam. Even if I'm praying Zohar or Asr, I can't hear the Imam, but still, I have to stay quiet, and that is the command at that point. The Imam then is going to recite in these salat, which are known as the Jahri Salat, Fajr, Maghrib, Isha, Jummah, Eidain. In these, he's going to recite aloud. Now, if things go the opposite way, forgetfully, the Imam goes ahead and recites in Zohar Asr, forgetfully. So we have to see how much recitation was done. If it was done to 3 ayat, then he has to go ahead and make Sajda Sahu, because he missed out a wajib, and that's this one. To recite qiraat out loud in only these prayers. If it's done in other prayers by the Imam, Zohar and Asr, then Sajda Sahu has to be done. To end the salat by saying the word salam. This is the technical understanding. When we say assalamu alaykum, when we turn our head, by the word salam, the salat then comes to an end. That's where we draw the line. Alaykum wa rahmatullah, scholars have said this is a sunnah. The words assalam is a wajib, and the rest of the salam that we do is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we do the sunnah, we'll notice that the whole procedure of the salat will then come into our mind. It is going to complete itself. So ending the salat by saying assalam. To say takbir Allahu Akbar for qunut in witr, and also recite dua al-qunut. In witr salat, in the 3rd rakat, when we stand up, we have to say Allahu Akbar. We raise our hands the same way we do. But here, you're not making the niyat of tahrima. So you wake the salat. Qunut is actually a dua. So if we have not memorized dua al-qunut, till that time, other masnoon duas can also be recited in this place. But scholars will also tell you that that's not the recommended way. So we have to learn the dua, Allahumma inna nasta'inuka wa nastaghfiruka, this dua. And many times when we've asked to experience, you ask elders to read it, they forget, or they're reciting it incorrectly. So the meaning can change very easily in these things, that if we are not pulling a place where we're supposed to pull, from a yes to no, it can go, right? So that's why it is important that dua al-qunut has to be memorized and put into that last portion of the witr prayer. After we say Allah Akbar, then dua al-qunut. Others have said if a person is new, he hasn't memorized, so he can say Allahumma gfirli 3 times. and other du'as, Muslim du'as will also fulfill the wajib, but we still have to learn this. To say six additional takbirs in both the Eid prayers, and we know this already, that in the Eid prayers there's additional takbirat. Those takbirat are wajib, and it's important that both the imam and the musallis are doing this. Okay, up to here we finished 14 wajibat. Now if brothers want to know particular cases, they can ask questions, inshallah. Ji. Anybody, inshallah? Ji.
तो ये कौन सी रकात है, कौन सी नमाज की, कौन सी रकात? और उन्होंने फातिहा पढ़नी, सूरत नहीं पढ़ी. जी जी जी. तो सजदे से वो आएगा. जी जी.
और अगर फर्ज की दूसरी रकात में भूल
गया, फर्ज की दूसरी में भी है करात, तीसरी और चौथी में सुन्नत है. फर्ज की दूसरी रकात में, हाँ, फिर भी सजदे से हो गए. जी जी जी.
अच्छा, जुमे में बाद उतरते हैं उतार जुमे में, यानी कल निकाल में पांच नाम शामिल हो, उसकी एक रकात रह गई है.
जी जी जी.
इमाम साहब पहली रकात कर चुके थे, आखिरी चौथी रकात में जब वो पीछे तशहुद में बैठा,
दूसरी रकात में ना, जुमे की
नहीं, जुमे की नहीं, किसी की नमाज, जुमे की नहीं करता, पर कोई भी नमाज
चार रकात वाली. जी जी जी.
जी नहीं,
यहाँ पर उसका जो रुकना है वो ताखीर उसकी तरफ से नहीं, इमाम का वो इंतजार कर रहा है, फिर भी उसको नहीं चाहिए कि पढ़े, उसको चाहिए कि तशहुद. जी जी. अगर पढ़ लिया तो सजदे से हो, इज नॉट इन दिस केस इज आस्किंग अबाउट दैट व्हेन अ पर्सन बिकम्स अ मसबूक. इन द केस ऑफ अ मसबूक, व्हेन ही बिफोर ही स्टैंड्स अप, ही इज वेटिंग फॉर द इमाम टू डू सलाम, एंड इन दैट केस ही रिसाइटेड दुरूद शरीफ. सो द रेकमेंडेड वे इज दैट ही शुडंट रिसाइट मोर आफ्टर द अत्तहियात, नाउ ही शुड बी वेटिंग. इफ ही हैज रिसाइटेड, देन देयर इज नो सजदे से हो फॉर दिस पर्सन. ठीक है? नो सजदे से हो. ठीक है? Somebody had asked about doing sajda in the water. We cannot pray salat if the person is praying and the flood comes in. See, the things that he can do are standing, but he's not going to be told to do sajda in the water. Okay, if it's at that point, then the sajda will be done with ishara. He's not going to go into the water because, of course, we cannot breathe in the water. So these type of questions did come up last time. So usually they don't happen, but if we want to know, then we are not told to do in the water. Jee. Are you behind the imam? On your own? So when a person prays on his own, he has the option. He can do either out loud or pray silently. But Jee. No. In that case, because there is an option, there is not violating anything. If, in other cases, if it's a sirri or jahri salat for imam, he has to then stay quiet. ठीक है? जी. Yes. जी. Yes. No, in a general case, no, he cannot, because the Qibla, standing up, these are all faraiz, and he's going to miss. Ji ji. Why people play on the plane? Yes, it's a good question. What happens is, first thing is, on the plane, we should try ourselves, ask the people to get the place in the back to stand and pray, and they even tell us where the Qibla is now. That's, if it's in our ability, we have to do that. Even in the plane, we should not sit until we've tried all of our options. Finally, now he has no other option to do that. He prays sitting, but that salah too is going to repeat.
That salah too has to be repeated later on when he gets to his home or his location. But he will not be sinful for leaving the prayer because it was out of his ability at the time to stand up and face the Qibla. They didn't allow it, or it was legally not allowed.